What's up, guys? Welcome back. I have a very exciting guest with me today. We have a dancer, content creator, and choreographer, and currently performing with Kevin Wu, Johnny Tran.
What's up, everyone?
Welcome. Thank you for being
Thank
here.
you for having me.
I'm really excited. I haven't gotten to, we spent a lot of time together on the K-pop Demon Hunters video that we did. And then I've only seen you here and there since then. So I'm glad that we have some time to sit down and hang out.
Right, because all that, it was just like in passing usually. And even on set, it was just so busy.
Yeah, kind of a blur. Also, kind of a disassociation
Yeah. The
situation.
long hours. Oh my gosh.
Long days. Yeah, multiple days. And you were choreographing most of it as well, or at least doing interpretations of the
It
dances,
was
right?
pretty much all choreographed
Oh,
by me.
really? I saw some of the BTS video of you teaching everybody everything. How was the experience of teaching people who don't really dance all
Yeah,
that
that was
choreography?
it was a challenge because they're all, for the most part, they're all beginners. Luckily, I've been practicing and training a lot and teaching a lot of more beginner classes and catering to that. So I sort of know what cadence to go with when I teach, but it was definitely challenging, especially because they're not, their thing isn't dance. They're not here on the shoot to try to dance. They're here to be a Saja boy. Dance just comes with it. But they were all really motivated. They were all trying really hard. So it actually helps a lot. Like as long as they're trying, it's way easier. And they were really trying.
Like their
So
heart's in it, they're passionate.
They're like, yeah, I'm gonna go home and practice. Don't worry, Johnny. And I'm like, okay, really hope you practice. You need it.
Who did everyone practice?
For the most part, yes.
Most part, you don't have to say names. That's so funny. What makes somebody a good student, would you say?
Eager to learn, and they pay attention. I think a lot of the times students will just they'll pay attention, but sometimes they don't move. Sometimes you're like, "Hey, follow along." And they just stand there and watch, and then they'll try like a little bit later, which is fine, but I think it's like a muscle memory. It's a repetition thing. You have to like keep on trying and doing it. So sometimes I like try to demonstrate or get people to catch on, and they just like stare at me, and
They're
I'm like,
stiff.
"Okay, come on." Not even stiff. They're just not moving.
Right, okay. And they're
I'm
not
like,
practiced, so they're not getting the
I'm just
muscle
like, "Come
memory.
on, just follow along, guys." But so usually just being attentive, paying attention, and just trying. I think giving like your full effort while you dance is, or even learn, is important.
What tips would you give to beginners who want to get into dance and do like content like you do?
Oh, specifically for dance to content?
Well, what's the difference, would you say?
Well, it's pretty interesting because the dance world, I feel like,
It's a really big question. I
yeah,
just
no,
sprung on
I know.
you.
I'll just like briefly cover it, but I feel like there's the dance world where it's like, without any other way, not actual dancers, but professional dancers who are pushing in that route. And then there's content creator dancers who are pushing to be big on social media. And those are two very different routes. They don't always go hand in hand, and it's very rare for it to cross. I think I'm lucky where I'm like one of the few where it does mesh there. But usually there's a division of like, oh, dancers will look at, oh, TikTok dancers. And then TikTok dancers will look at professional dancers and be like, oh, they can't get views like me. So it's like this weird difference, but they're very different spaces. Very different spaces,
Interesting. So what would you say makes you successful in the crossover then?
I was actually in the dance community for, so I've been dancing since I was 10. I've been dancing a long time. I've been in the community all the way since then. I didn't start social media until 2021.
Gotcha. During pandemic times.
When everyone did, didn't have anything else to do. So yeah, that's when I started. But up until that point, I had been dancing. I'd been involved with the community for over 10 years. So
Gotcha.
I've already established these connections, had these networks, and been a part. People already knew me for that. So then social media just sort of happened out of the side. And then obviously everyone in social media just knows me for that. But I had this other history and training and background. So I think that's what sort of puts me in the middle. Because I feel like a lot of people start because they see it on social media, but they hadn't had that experience of being in the community. And that's very
Gotcha.
different.
So you had like the street cred and the resume to back you up.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, that's, I mean, it's awesome. I love your content. I love the slide in hook that you always do. It's so good. What made you start posting on social media, and how did like your content journey start and come about?
Right. So during pandemic, it was funny. I was actually, so before I was like a full-time dancer and content creator, I was a UI UX designer, web designer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was trying to start a marketing business. Mm-hmm. So I watched a lot of Gary Vee. Do you know who Gary Vee is?
I don't.
He's like this motivational speaker. He's like, basically he just screams at you, just do it. Like that's him summed up.
Okay.
Like anything's possible. Just do it.
Just do it.
So I watched a lot of it. And he was saying, now's the time if you want to like grow, get on TikTok. Mm-hmm. As a business, you need to get on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And he kept on drilling that. And I think that was right before TikTok really started to blow up. So I was like, you know what? I'll bite. So then that's actually the reason I started posting on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I did a dance that was trending at the time. I think it's, they call it Smile Dance. My friend actually created it. His name is Zach Jott. He made the trend. Mm-hmm. It blew up. So then I covered it. And because it was a popular trending song and I could dance at least decently well, mm-hmm. it sort of blew up from there. And I was like, wow, this is awesome.
Okay.
Like people are watching me. Mm-hmm. So then I just started spamming like different dances and actually stumbled upon K-pop dances. Mm-hmm. So at the time, I wasn't really into K-pop. I used to be into it in high school when it wasn't cool.
Uh-huh.
And it was hard to stay in it because people were like, oh, what are you watching? Or what are you like listening to? So I sort of fell out of it.
Okay.
And then I got back into it because I started seeing these K-pop dances. Mm-hmm. And at this time too, the dances started getting difficult and actually feeling like hard dances.
Because like
in the past, difficult mm-hmm. choreography. In the past, mm-hmm. it was very simple.
Gotcha.
Really, really simple. But now it was like challenging.
Mm-hmm.
So even I was like, whoa, this is tough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that made it more fun to actually cover.
Gotcha.
And I grew respect for K-pop artists because they could dance well.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing challenging choreography. So then that's how I entered into K-pop. Transitions at the time were really popular too.
Mm-hmm.
I think I did like one of the, they throw a shoe up, you pretend to kick it and your outfit changes.
Uh-huh.
I did that and I was like, oh, transitions are awesome too. Mm-hmm. And I'm sort of into fashion. So from there, I saw someone do like a flip and change clothes. And I was like, huh, I think I can do that.
Uh-huh.
But like my own way and better.
Yeah, yeah.
So then that's when I first tried that. And it also went like blew up and went really viral. And a couple other flip transitions I tried.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, it just became my thing where I just like spammed it because people liked it.
Yeah. You know? Well, I think that is great branding on your part, because if they see the same, like the slide in mm-hmm. in the beginning, they know that it's your video immediately.
Yeah.
So I think you've brand positioning down. So doing the same type of transition over and over again probably worked really well for you because people knew what to expect from your account.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
From a marketing perspective,
that's what I did
before cosplay.
I appreciate that because usually I'm like, dang, do I just do this too much?
No, definitely not. Repeating the same hook, I think, is the best thing that you can do right now in social media.
Oh,
I don't do enough content at this point in my content creation career, but that's what I've observed for sure. I think you're doing something right.
Okay.
You're crushing it.
That's very affirming.
You're
Thank
killing
you.
It. Well, you talked about, tell me the YouTuber's name one more time. Or the, not the YouTuber, the video creator that you were talking about.
Gary Vee.
Yeah. You were talking about watching his videos, but you also did a creator keynote, right, at VidCon.
I did, yes.
About how to set yourself apart.
Wow,
as
you
a
really did your research. Oh my gosh.
I would like to thank Marika specifically for that one. But yeah, the creator keynote at VidCon mm-hmm. about separating yourself as a content creator, right?
Yeah.
I think that separates you as a content creator for sure. Repeating transitions and mm-hmm. repeating hooks, but can you talk about your presentation a little bit?
Yeah, that was ages ago. Oh my gosh. But VidCon had reached out to just attend it. I think that year specifically, they invited a lot of TikTok creators. I think they were pushing that.
Mm.
So they asked like, oh, what sort of things are you interested in? I just checked a bunch and didn't think about it. And then later like, hey, you want to do a keynote? And in my head, I was like, can I even? Sure, I'll do it, but sure. I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Yeah.
So I didn't really know how to approach it, but mm-hmm. I just wanted to talk about the topic that made the most sense to me, mm-hmm. which was, you know, separating yourself as a creator. Mm-hmm. And I had to do it. So actually, really cool, I did a live transition in front of everyone.
Oh, that's so cool.
So I had a shirt and then like a jacket over it. Mm-hmm. But the shirt had these clips on the side. It was like a ripoff shirt. Mm. So I did a spin where once I faced the back, I pulled it off. So once I turned back to the front, it was a different shirt on the inside.
That's so cool. Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I just did a live transition. That's I was so cool. nervous going into it though.
And yeah. But it worked perfectly.
It worked.
Nice.
I practiced it so much, but it worked exactly the way I wanted it to.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. And did you talk at all or did you?
Yeah. Yeah. The whole thing, it was a 5-minute speech.
Gotcha.
And I just talked about like what I did and how to find, you know, your individual self, what can separate you, you know, and like take what you like mm-hmm. and then just build on it, flip it. Like you don't need to reinvent the wheel. Mm-hmm. Just find something that you can grasp onto or that makes you you. And then, elevate it a little bit more, make it more your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great advice.
Funny story with that. I was in the elevator in the hotel mm-hmm. for VidCon that they provide. And I got on the elevator and then Hank Green came into the elevator with me.
No way.
So I was like, oh my gosh, Hank Green's right there. So I said, hi. And he's like, oh, what are you doing here? I'm like, oh, I'm giving a keynote. And, he inadvertently, I think, roasted me because he was like, no, in like the greatest way possible. I'm so happy. Uh-huh, uh-huh. He's like, oh my God, he roasted me. Hell yeah. But he's like, oh, what kind of keynote are you giving? And I was like, oh, just like about setting yourself apart as a creator. And he's like, oh, that's sort of like what everyone talks about. And I'm like, oh, he has a point though. He has a point. Like, I have to give it to him. But I was sort of stunned, but I was also like, wow, he roasted me. That was awesome.
Roasted by angry.
Yeah,
that's so funny, but damn.
I know it's okay. He probably doesn't even remember that, but that's
but
fine.
How many people did a live transition on stage?
That's
I feel
true.
Like you really set yourself apart in front of everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome. What do you think you've learned doing content, doing dancing, and everything else that you do that can separate yourself from everyone else now in 2025?
I think because I lie in between, like, I guess the dance community and the TikTok dance community, mm-hmm. There's sort of been this like separation of the dance community feeling like, oh, they don't necessarily feel like their dancing has a place on TikTok. Mm. Because you know, TikTok dances are generally pretty simple. Mm-hmm. And people like, quote unquote, without talent get lots of views because they look cool or whatever reasoning people might want to say, you know? Mm-hmm. You can make up a million reasons. I feel like being in between, I'm able to know how to take like a dance that by itself might not do well on TikTok, but serve it to people in a way that they might be able to enjoy better. Mm-hmm. And just thinking a little bit more of how would a viewer actually be able to consume this content. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be my answer. Mm-hmm. I like lost the question halfway through.
You answered it.
Okay,
you nailed
cool.
it. Yeah, you have two separate skill sets that you're using to elevate the other.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you, what would you say, because I feel like I see dances on TikTok that seem complicated mm-hmm. to me, who mm-hmm. isn't a dancer by trade, but would you say that there is a place for choreography and like quote unquote dancers and not TikTok dancers on TikTok, or is it mostly the TikTok dancers?
I think over time, it's been getting better, mm-hmm. mostly because all the dancers have been understanding how to serve their content better or frame it in a way that people can grasp.
Gotcha.
But also on the other end, I think TikTok dances have been getting more difficult. Because some of them, I'm like, whoa, this is actually tight. Like,
okay.
Wow, these people are cooking.
So a little bit of both.
Yeah, yeah. I think both of them have been moving closer.
Mm-hmm.
Still different, but it's been crossing more. Yeah.
Gotcha. If somebody wanted to, say somebody wants to get into TikTok dancing today, right now, what advice would you give them?
I think my advice is the general posting advice is to just post more and then you can improve on it later. Because I think a lot of content creators struggle with posting.
Yeah.
In general, they get stuck between, oh, I don't know if this is good enough, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But in my head, I think you just have to post,
mm-hmm.
and then refine because you need to get the habit of posting done first.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can worry about really like improving it.
Because
I think a lot of people just get stuck in their heads and won't post something that is genuinely good. But because they're stuck in their head, they won't post it for like weeks on end and just be like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I'm ready to share this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've talked about this a couple of times on here, but when your brand is you, sometimes you really get caught up in your head over and over again. And if you're editing your own content and you're sliding one slider a little to the left and a little to the right for hours, it starts to kind of compound on itself. And then you don't want to look at it anymore because you don't know what to do, what's right, what's
wrong. I get that too.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I just have to post and look away.
never look back. It's funny because I, when they needed a last minute Mira for the Your Idol video, and I ended up as Mira, I asked Julia to promise me there was no dancing for us. I was like, please don't make me embarrass myself on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
And Julia was like, there's no dancing, I promise, no dancing. And I asked her a few times and she was like, no dancing. And then when we did that content day, Stella was on her way out to go to the airport, and the very last thing with her last 5 minutes that she wanted us to do was a dance trend.
I remember.
And I was like, Julia, you told me there'd be no dancing. And Julia tried to stop her even a little bit. She was like, I don't think we have time for this
because
you have to go to the airport, Stella. You have to leave right now.
I do remember her saying that.
I think she genuinely thought there was no time for it, but I think she also was trying to do me a solid because she was like, I got you.
Right.
And she was like, I'm sorry.
That's
You're going to
so
have
funny.
To do it anyway. It's like, okay.
It was all Stella's fault.
It's all Stella's fault. I almost got out unscathed at the buzzer. She made me do choreography.
Wow. Just barely.
Just barely. Exactly. But it was fine. I expected it to be a lot worse than it ended up being when I saw the final product.
Yeah, like, that one was simple. It was very silly. It was meant to be silly.
Yeah. It's funny, when you were talking about the dance community versus the quote-unquote TikTok dance community and the sort of rivalry that goes on between them, there's a similar parallel, I think, in cosplay.
Really?
At least there was for a really long time, where the people who would get a social media following were kind of deemed as not real makers because they were making content quickly, so they didn't make every single part of their costume every single time. But they were succeeding online in ways that other people who were taking months, sometimes a year, to make one big, really cool costume weren't growing as quickly, nearly as quickly. And there was sort of a at odds situation, I'd say, for a long time, where if you if you did any sort of sexy content in any capacity, everyone was like, well, you know, they don't make their costumes, or they do sexy content, of course they have followers. And there was this like almost animosity between the two communities that still exists, but certainly not as bad as it was. But I think a lot of what you're saying makes sense. I think those people and the traditional dancing community just didn't know how to market themselves online. Mm-hmm. It was coming up as you were talking about it. Yeah. I was like, this sounds really familiar, because you guys also could have a social media career if you packaged it correctly, you know?
Right. Yeah, I can see the parallels in that.
Yeah, just wanted to share. I thought it was interesting.
No, that is really interesting. I feel like I've heard about
overlap
that.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Did you also learn sewing during the pandemic?
I did. That's also crazy how you know that. Oh my gosh. I feel so exposed.
I end up knowing a lot about a lot of people after this, and then I'm a weirdo because it'll come up in average conversation, like at lunch or something. I'm like, well, I know where you went to high school and what you majored in college, but it's really creepy for me to bring that up now. But you picked up sewing, right?
Yeah.
You haven't been using it to make cosplays, so what have you been doing?
I usually just alter thrifted clothes. Mm. So I'll like hem jackets, t-shirts, simple stuff. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I used to try to take shirts and cut them in half and then sew them together.
Oh, yeah.
And all that stuff. But just time-wise, I haven't been able to do it as much. But it is fun to do alterations. Mm-hmm. Though I will try to use it for cosplay soon.
I'm so excited. I've been trying to, for everyone listening or watching at home, I've been pressuring Johnny to cosplay since he got to the studio.
I'm being convinced, very convinced.
And we were talking about you potentially doing Silas from Love and Deep Space, right?
Yeah, yeah. I don't even know how I ended up thinking of that, but I think it was because my friend who's really into Love and Deep Space was like, hey, they're releasing dances that they're all performing.
It's
should cover
perfect
it.
For
yeah.
you.
I was like, wow, that is perfect. And then I think it was on set for either Your Idol or Soda Pop, or probably both. Mm-hmm. Stella was just going off about Love and Deep Space.
If Stella's around, Love and Deep Space is brought up.
And she was going off and she's like, yeah, you should tap into the market if you haven't. I'm like, okay, I guess, I mean, why not? Especially if there's dances.
Yeah.
So I learned what the dance that Silas does, which is like very sexy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, you know, that didn't do half bad. Mm-hmm. And the more I talked to people about it, they were like, yeah, you should actually cosplay. Like, I'll help you do it. I'll help you put it together. And I'm like, I mean, I guess. So then I did end up buying all the clothes for Silas. Like, I think his harness and everything, the wig. Mm-hmm. So it's on its way. I just need to get the wig styled.
Yeah.
Figure out makeup, but it'll happen.
Well, you have a plethora of cosplayers at your disposal here. Especially Stella would love to make Love and Deep Space come to life at any moment with anyone who's willing.
I'll bring it up to her.
Please.
It's going to happen,
please.
Though.
Please. That would be awesome. I think you should do all of them.
I would be down. I did buy Raphael's wig.
Oh,
I just
didn't
know what outfit I wanted to get for him. It's been like the seed has been planted in my brain.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Uh-huh. Do you have other friends who play too that talk to you about it?
Yeah. After I did one, I streamed once where I was like, hey, I'm just going to start playing. And then so many people I did not expect to be into it were like, oh my gosh, Love and Deep Space. They would like hop in chat or just message me about it. And I was like, wow, I didn't know so many of you were like smut lovers.
Mm-hmm. The Gooner game.
The Gooners are coming out.
But now you're playing a little bit.
Yes, I'm playing. I'm understanding. It's research.
It's research.
It's research.
It's research. Right. Research. yeah, that'd be great. I think you should do them all and see which one... Like works, a poll, like which one do I look like the most or which one do I suit the most?
That is a good idea.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's five, right?
There are five.
Stella tells me that Raphael is her least favorite.
That's what I usually hear. Mm-hmm. And so far, I actually have started to like him.
Really?
Because he's sort of bratty. Mm. And yeah, he's like just sort of a brat, but I'm also a brat, so I get it. I'm like, I relate to it. But he's like extreme. He's on the extreme end, yeah.
Uh-huh. There's Raphael. I heard he's the crybaby. Brat, makes sense. I know Silas obviously, right, because of Stella. Mm-hmm. And then I know that there is a like more stoic-y, like Brainiac type, which is the one I always get when I take the witch,
oh,
Love in Deep Space character.
Is he the doctor?
Yes.
Oh, I forget. I know there's a Caleb, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know which one he is.
I don't remember this man's name specifically, okay, but he's got glasses.
Yeah, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
I know Caleb is like your long lost family friend,
right,
or something.
Right, like childhood friend. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is like lore I've collected.
Yeah.
Without having played the game,
it's pretty
good.
Yeah,
exactly. And I think that's it. Is that it? Oh, no, there's a blonde one.
Right. Oh, yes, yes. He's like very empty-headed, I think. Mm-hmm. Or just like emotionless.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he was in the recent chapter I played.
Gotcha. Okay. So you're deep in.
A little bit.
Do you do your dailies?
I try, not every day, but I try to.
Okay, good. I mean, this is a good seed that's planted. You're going to do a great cosplay.
I just need to unlock Silas. That's my goal.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently you have to go like pretty far in.
Oh, they did that on purpose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Damn.
Made you work for it.
Well, you know, it's tragic that you have to play that much of the game. Wow.
Oh no, I have to play so much Lebanese space now.
That's so funny. The game is huge, by the way, everyone. If you don't have Love in Deep Space, I tried to download it. My phone couldn't fit it. It was such a huge game.
It takes a lot of space.
Yeah, I had to delete Uma Musume as well because, really? I was like, I can't. There's too much.
Yeah.
I've been taking a lot of BTS cosplay creation because I don't post enough about like stuff that I make. And a lot of people assume that I don't make anything, which is crazy to me because when I first started cosplay in like 2013.
Oh my gosh.
I know, telling on myself. But everyone made everything.
Yeah.
You didn't really have the resources to buy cosplays back then. But also it was really looked down upon. So when
to
I get,
buy cosplays.
Mm-hmm, there was a really bad stigma about it, which now seems crazy, but everything's a lot more accessible now and you have to keep up with content.
Yeah.
But
I can understand why people would feel sort of protective about it though. Mm-hmm. When like you put so much work and like hard work and sweat into your craft, mm-hmm, and then to see people get like do a choppy version of it, mm-hmm, but find more, you know, success or views, mm-hmm, just from doing that. And it's like all that work, all that value you put into your really detailed work doesn't get the same, you know, mm-hmm, applause or flowers.
Totally.
I can only understand that.
Yeah. I can too. But I think because I went to school for marketing, mm-hmm, advertising, I think that was similar to how you had the dance background, mm-hmm, and then were able to apply to TikTok. I had the marketing background and was able to apply it to cosplay.
Yeah.
Back when like the photo algorithm was the bread and butter.
Right.
I also did photography, so I had like a good formula going for a while.
Yeah.
But nowadays I'll post content and people will ask me where I bought my costume and I'm like, wait, I made this costume.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, but I realized that I don't ever post about making my costume, so I've been trying
to
take,
so they don't even know.
Yeah. So it's kind of my fault. So I've been trying to take more video of making things, mm-hmm, but that has filled my phone up completely.
Yeah. It's like just 20 minutes of your just camera just there.
The tripod. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like in the zone painting something,
right,
and I realize it's been going for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no Horse Girls for me or Love in Deep Space at this specific moment in time.
Do you have an iPad?
I do have an iPad.
Download it on your iPad. That's what I did.
Oh, you know what?
You don't need it on your phone. Just use your iPad.
I think you're onto something, actually. Do you have a specific dance style that you specialize in?
I would say generally. It's sort of hard because I think a lot of choreography is such a mesh of different styles.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people can be very protective about labeling.
Mm.
What we might... the general public considers hip-hop isn't true hip-hop.
Mm, okay.
So it's sort of hard to say because it's a mix of everything. It's a mix of like all these different styles. If I had to say it, I would say hip hop.
Okay.
But again, that's like a hard label to really put on it.
Gotcha.
Because it's, again, it's like taking inspiration, like dance styles in general, it's taking inspiration from everywhere. So you can't even like say it's one thing sometimes because it has a part of each different style.
Yeah, it's evolved.
Yeah.
Is there a certain dancer or group that inspired you to first start posting covers on YouTube and TikTok?
For posting covers, not particularly. It was just because saw it on TikTok and I was like, oh, K-pop dances are cool.
Yeah.
And at the time, my friend actually got me into Blackpink. That was like my first real dive into K-pop. Mm-hmm. I watched the documentary and the documentary is going to show all the work they did and how hard they tried. And seeing that, I was like, wow, these girls really put their all into it. So they were actually my main inspiration for wanting to succeed and post was because I was like, wow, they really just put their all into it and wanted to achieve their dreams and just went for it. Like, yeah. I should just do the same. So
that's awesome.
Sort of that, which is separate from like dance inspirations, but that was just a general content creator inspiration. That's actually where I took it from.
That's so cool. And you said Blackpink is one of your favorite groups.
Yes.
And so is BTS.
Yes,
right?
Love BTS.
And Le Sserafim as well.
Yeah, I love Le Sserafim because I'm a man. And they're beautiful.
That's
Music's
true.
Music's great too.
It's but, true.
Yeah.
K-pop, to me, seems like the perfect way to hypnotize somebody. Because if there's ever K-pop music videos playing in a nostalgic a restaurant or if a friend has them on, it doesn't matter what I'm there to do. All I'm doing is staring at the screen like somebody's got one of those spiral videos on and
right.
I can look
and
away.
And you just hypnotize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The visuals are crazy.
It's so good.
I understand why it's so addicting.
Mm-hmm.
You said that you like those three groups for different reasons specifically. Are there certain things that stick out to you when it comes to K-pop groups?
Yeah. I think it depends on what kind of fan you are, actually.
Okay.
So you can
break
be the type of fan. Yeah. You can, when you're really a fan of someone, you watch all their extra videos.
Mm.
You fall for their personality, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I did with Blackpink and BTS, actually. Actually, the Sserafim. Wow. I guess that's the key. Personality is like a big draw, and that's what makes people mega fans.
Mm.
The music is just what, and dancing pulls you in, but what really gets people to bias or like stan or their favorite essentially is the personality and how you connect it. And the K-pop artists are trained to be like the perfect being and to appeal to people and the masses. They're media trained for this reasons. It's built into them. So there's also a reason this happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like intense marketing at its highest degree.
It really is.
Do you have a bias in any of these groups?
Yeah. In Blackpink, it would be Lisa.
Okay.
She's the main dancer.
Mm-hmm.
In BTS, it would be Jin, just because he's the funniest. He always has this joke where I'm Mr. Worldwide Handsome, because a lot of people would comment, oh, who's that guy? He's really handsome.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a silly guy. I think I really admire that goofiness part of him.
Mm-hmm.
And Le Sserafim, it's Chaewon. She's like the most, I would say the most popular.
Oh, yeah.
There's a common saying that Chaewon men are red flags.
Uh-huh.
And I embrace it fully.
And you're one of them?
I don't care.
Damn. Well, I mean, as long as you're honest about it.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Do you have any like K-pop hot takes or anything?
Oh my gosh. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, hit me with a K-pop hot take.
Well, usually the hot takes are always about the people online who comment about. Same with like anime, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Anime
yeah.
fandoms are the reason you dislike certain animes.
Mm-hmm.
Same with K-pop. I think a lot of people love to comment about the dancing that people do or like saying this person's the best dancer and they don't know anything about that dancing. They just are starstruck by these people. And I mean, I do think a lot of them are really good dancers, but I think a lot of people don't know what they're saying, especially when they talk about dance or they criticize choreography or anything. But I mean, it goes in the same way people do with anime. It's the exact same.
Yeah.
So my hot takes is just like, the fans just don't know what they're saying. Like majority of the time,
don't know what they're talking about.
10% of the time, maybe they have some truth to it or actually are making an educated take. Usually you guys don't know anything. I'm sorry to say it. I'm sorry to say it, but it's
fans,
it's,
you don't know anything.
Yeah. You don't know anything. Unless you actually study what they're doing. Then it's different.
That's so funny.
But you can have an opinion. It's fine. Just you don't know everything. That's all.
Yeah. Just take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. 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 You are dancing for a lot of the K-pop community right now. I have a list, actually.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Let's see. You are currently performing with Johnny Tran, who are you're Johnny Tran. I read the wrong name.
It's like, ooh.
You're currently performing with. Hold on.
You got it. You got it.
Hold on.
It's okay.
Please don't put these on the internet, Ryan.
Just need a compilation of your.
The compilation.
You're just trying to say this at one point.
Please cut that. He put like a 1.5 minute. What was it? Like a blooper reel together because I was trying to be like, subscribe to our Patreon. We have extra bonus episodes and blah, 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 blah. But it was like right when we first started and I was really camera shy.
Yeah.
And it was like three sentences and I could not get it out. And there's this embarrassing string of bloopers where I was like wanting to slap myself.
Oh, no.
And then he posted it on the internet.
That's amazing.
Anyway, as I was saying perfectly the first time, you are currently performing with Kevin Wu.
Yeah.
You were in an 88 Rising music video. L.A. Lisa, did I say that right?
La Lisa. That's like Lisa from Blackpink, actually. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's her full name.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that. You were in a music video for her?
Yes.
No way!
It was the craziest thing. She was this close away from me.
Wow, how was that?
It was amazing. I was actually her and Tyla. They were both in the music video.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. They, so my friend, he knew the casting director and she asked him for recommendations. So he recommended me. So they were like, yeah, you want to be in a music video for Lisa? Of course I said yes.
What do you mean? Of course.
It was sort of a tough video to shoot though, because we got there at like 4 PM and we didn't do any filming for us, the extras, until midnight. And we had to be dressed in summer clothes and it was freezing cold. We were around a pool.
That's crazy.
And we had to pretend we were having a party and like it was the best thing ever.
Oh my God.
So it was tough. But then, you know, Lisa's like, she walks in front of me for a scene. So
you're
I'm just
locked
like,
in.
Wow. Every single time. They did one take where me and a few other people had to follow her and Tyla and just like dance follow her. And I was like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. Wow. And then they saw it and they're like, no, we're scrapping that.
No.
I think it was just the walkway was too small. That's
gotcha.
Why.
Yeah.
But it was really cool. Really amazing to see her up close. She was even like cheering us on and everything. Tyla also just so gorgeous in person. It was a really fun experience being a fan. I think if you did not care about them, it would have been horrible because it was so cold and such long hours. At the end, they were also spraying water on us. Because it was like, just like a water rain scene, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's not like even warm. It's cold water.
Yeah.
In like 1 a.m. now, cold water spraying on you. And they're like, oh yeah, guys, you got to go shirtless. So we don't even have our shirts on. And we're just trying to like party and pretend we're having fun and not cold.
That's so wild.
It was rough. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But a great music video.
And when you do music videos, there's always a chance that you won't make the cut, like the final cut, right? Yeah. Can you see yourself?
Oh, yeah. I have two great scenes where I'm like clearly there.
Oh, that's so sick.
So I was very happy about that.
That's awesome. I was in a K-pop music video in the background as like a club goer person.
No way. Which one?
And I can't for the life of me remember who was because I was with my friends. I am like a lone person who doesn't, like, I have a ton of friends who know a lot about K-pop and love K-pop. And I'm the only one who doesn't really know what's going on. But I'm always down for the ride.
Oh, just to be there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, that's so cool.
So I was in the background with a couple of my friends, and I'm trying to remember.
Was it recent?
It was recent.
Was it two guys?
It was one guy.
One guy. Oh, okay. I see.
It was one guy who, if I remember correctly, oh, wait. I think I found it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh, wait, no, I didn't find it.
A club scene.
It was a guy who. Oh, Jay Park.
Oh, wait a second.
Yeah, yeah.
I was there too.
Were you?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. It was.
It was before we knew each other.
Yeah, I think so. This was before we knew each other.
Uh-huh.
Because do you know Witchy Brew?
That's my roommate who I've been talking about.
What the
Amanda.
Heck?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I've formally met her, but we follow each other.
Uh-huh.
And had been following each other. And she was there too, so I remember saying hi.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I was there.
Wait,
with
that's
them.
So funny. Uh-huh. Wow, we were both on the same
that's
music video.
Crazy. Do I have Jay Park on your list here? I don't think I do. I don't.
He should be on
I
there.
I don't.
But,
he
yeah.
should be on there.
Yeah.
He should be on there. Yeah, Amanda is Witchy Brew, who likes Stray Kids.
Oh, okay, okay.
She was coaching me before I came today.
Yeah.
On how to say stuff.
You're doing great so far.
Thank you.
I haven't noticed any mispronunciations.
I only said L.A. Lisa instead of La Lisa.
That's
and
okay.
We're
it's just the full
like
name thing. That's
yeah.
fine.
You also danced with Jackson Wang.
Jackson, I didn't dance with.
Oh, okay.
I did content with.
Gotcha.
Yes, yes. We did content together.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He's great. We actually became, I think I can say we're friends.
Mm-hmm.
We follow each other.
Mm-hmm.
When I pass by him at events, he'll talk to me or he, there was, okay, actually I haven't told this story, so this is a good one. Mm-hmm. I was at KCON and I was backup dancing on day three, but he was performing day two. So I was hanging out backstage after he performed to just say hi to him in the hallways.
Mm-hmm.
So he's walking by and I say, "Hey, Jackson." And he goes, "Oh, Johnny, what are you doing here?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I'm backup dancing tomorrow." And he's like, "Oh, what are you doing right now?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I'm about to go home."
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "All right, let's go drink." And he grabs me and he pulls me into his dressing room with all his dancers and staff. And we just like, he just starts pouring like Henny down our throats. Which is like, this is like a common, this is a thing people talk about because they're like, "Oh, I want to be invited to a Jackson Wang party."
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a thing people say on the internet.
Oh, really?
And that actually happened to me.
No way.
Yeah, I've not talked about that publicly. I've been wanting to. This is the perfect way.
This is the perfect
yeah,
way.
But that actually happened. So I would like to say we're like pretty cool with each other.
That's so yeah. sick. Did you like party for like the rest of the night? Did you go
oh,
to
Oh no,
bars
I had a 6 a.m. call time. So I was
oh,
like,
no.
"Hey man, I can't hang out longer. I gotta actually go."
Well, I mean, you checked a box that
yeah,
day.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. I also have here that you performed with JYP.
Yes, I did.
Which
yeah.
I've gotten the lore for now is
yeah.
kind of like a cringe uncle who tries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like,
oh wait. How should I?
No, that's fine.
Okay.
I would describe it the same way. Like,
okay.
Like the uncle who tries to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, it's not that he's not cool. He's just a little bit old for
okay.
what he's doing.
Gotcha.
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of, he's memed a lot.
Gotcha.
Because a lot of what he does is like meme worthy. I'll show you some later.
Okay.
It's pretty funny. But yeah, I performed for him. We did, they're called the Mama Awards.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the name of the award show.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a US award show for the, I think the first time. This was, I want to say this earlier this year, actually.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And yeah, so they reached out to one of my friends who's the studio owner,
mm-hmm.
Eileen Kim. I teach at her studio, Roots. So then she hit up a bunch of us and was like, "Hey, you want to backup dance for him?"
Yeah.
And of course we were down. It was basically
right.
disco dancing on stage.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was basically disco dancing on stage, but it was really fun. And it was just such a troll moment. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, that's so funny I did it. But also, like, it is a professional thing. But it's also just did it half for the memes, half because it is a good thing to do.
Yeah. But I think hitting both is the perfect, I don't know, the perfect blend.
Right. Especially as a creator.
Yeah, exactly. Amanda Witchybrew is who put JYP on the Hear Me Out cake.
I can't. That's a crazy one. That really is a crazy one.
It's good. Now that I understand the lore, it's really funny.
Yeah.
You also worked with IU and DPR Ian?
Yes, yes. I've been in two music videos that Ian has directed. He's an artist, but he's also been taking up directing for music videos sometimes. Absolutely amazing guy. He's one of my favorite idols, people I've met, just because he's such a great person and also such an artist. Because he, not only is he a singer, he also produces, directs, he writes a lot of his music, he edits his music videos. Like, he takes on so much of it, being just one person, but it's just so admirable. It's like the true artist, the true creative. So that's what I like about him. IU, she's like, you can think of her as Korea's Taylor Swift. Like a huge deal. She's like the coveted woman, you know?
Right, right.
Just for being like such a cool person. But yeah, I did a music video for her that he directed, and that was great too. There's a funny scene that I do. She's like escaping from stealing from an auction, and she distracts all the other people with like throwing money in the air. So we have to pretend to be, you know, greedy rich people grabbing money. And at one point I'm like grabbing money, but I'm like right next to her feet, and I look up and I'm like, wow, I'm living like the dream.
I'm just right here. Yeah. So many people wish they could be right here.
Yeah. I think at one point she has to like throw money also. And she like grabs some money and throws it, and it like smacks me in the face. And I pocketed one of the fake bills. I was like, I'm keeping this. I have it framed in my room too.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so funny. And how many people wish they could be smacked with money?
Oh, countless.
Yeah.
It's I'm living so good. Every man's dream.
That's amazing. Is that your favorite music video moment, would you say?
I think so, just because it was humorous to me and it was a fun moment. It was like interactive with her too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you can blend parts of your personality, like the meminess of your personality with your content? And dancing?
I try to. I think with a lot of what I grew on TikTok for is very like cool guy. But I'm honestly not a cool guy. I'm actually like a really huge nerd and dork. But I don't think people really know that. So on occasion, and I've been trying to do this a little bit more, post like sort of meme-y content or dance content that's to like troll music. So I'm trying to get that out there more, but I think most people just see me as, oh, does cool transitions and like dresses nice and dances well,
he's flipping,
but I'm just a nerd. I'm really just a nerd and people don't really know that
I'm just a you're just a gooner playing Love and Deep Space.
I'm a secret gooner playing Love and Deep Space, guys.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. So because you've worked with so many K-pop artists, there's a stigma around K-pop that it's has to be perfect, like this perfection. Do you have a higher expectation on a set for a K-pop music video, would you say, than for anything else that you do?
Not necessarily. Well, it also depends on what role you have in the music video.
Gotcha.
I think being, and this goes for even any production, being talent, a dancer, featured actor, whatever, versus an extra, vastly different experiences. That's going to exist on every set. So I can't say that's specifically a K-pop thing or not a K-pop thing. It's more of just what role you're given, and then that's how people will treat you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you, because you're blending all of these different elements together, traditional dancer, TikTok dancer, content creator, everything else that you do, what would you say is the hardest part of your day-to-day routine?
Oh, balance.
Balance.
I think you can probably relate to this, but
totally.
What is something I want to do? Like, oh, I have to do this for work, but I also want to do this for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also have like, but I also want to do this dance thing. And sometimes it's really about like knowing what to pick.
Mm-hmm.
And making a decision is exhausting in itself.
Mm-hmm.
I hate making decisions. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Me too.
That's the most tiring thing. Mm-hmm. Like if I could just have someone tell me what to do, I would flourish.
Uh-huh.
But you have to make your own decisions.
Right.
So a lot of times it's just, how do you balance everything? Because mm-hmm. sometimes when you lean too far one way, the other isn't just going to do as well. Mm-hmm. But I've also come to terms with that sometimes you're meant to just, right now I'm meant to just be in my dance era mm-hmm. and really push this right now really hard
mm-hmm.
While opportunities are flowing in.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly content's doing really well. I need to follow that momentum. So mm-hmm. sometimes I think it's okay to just lean into what's working. Not everything has to be perfectly balanced, but
mm-hmm.
I'd say that is the challenge, is to know when to pull back and when to pick a certain thing or make mm-hmm. time for all these different things you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally understand that for sure. Do you do voice acting work as well?
I want to.
Okay.
Yes, I was taking classes last year for like a good half a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got really busy with dance work.
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of time and balance and trying to do a ton of things at once.
Yeah, but I do want to still do voice acting. I got into it because I play D&D.
Mm-hmm.
I've been playing for like a year and a half, 2 years now. And I was like, what? How can I get better at this? Oh, mm-hmm. voice acting classes. And then the voice acting classes were really fun. As a career, it seems really fun.
Mm-hmm.
So for me right now, I'm just putting it to the side, at least until dance dust slows down. For mm-hmm. me, it's I'm 30 years old. I can only dance for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Physically,
mm-hmm.
I can only keep it up for so long and like be able to spend so much time on it.
Mm-hmm.
I got to do something after
mm-hmm.
that isn't so demanding. So for me, in my head, that's voice acting.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to leave it just so that I can pursue it after and still like get my training in here and there. But I need to live out my dance life right now
mm-hmm.
before I can really 100% that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Similarly enough, I feel mm-hmm. the exact same way.
With cosplay?
With cosplay and also voice acting. I've been doing classes as well.
Have you?
Yeah.
Wait, that's awesome.
Yeah, for the past year, because I am like, I'm in my 30s and I don't know how much longer I want to be dressing up as an anime character.
That's fair. That's fair.
Every now and then I'll put something on and be like, am I too old for this? when does this become cringe, right?
Right, right.
I wanted to start sort of paving a new path.
Yeah.
At least now putting like the roots in so that mm-hmm. by the time I don't want to do cosplay anymore or by the time I do want to transition, I can do something different. So I totally get it.
Wait, I love that. It's also voice acting for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what kind of voice acting? Because, you know, I feel like there's like animation, video games, anime, commercial.
From what I've learned, on the tier of what pays the most, commercial is at the very top and anime is at the very bottom. Mm-hmm. So
exactly.
In my heart, I want it to be video games because that's what I like the most. Mm-hmm. And that's what I have always loved. And that's how I spend all my free time. but I am also trying to make sure I work on commercial because I know that that's like the groundwork for having an actual financial stability in the career itself.
100%.
So I'm doing both. I'm doing classes in both.
Nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mostly took video game classes
because
same reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like this is what I like to do.
Right.
But I know that this will keep the passion alive.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to mix it up.
Yeah. No, that's good. I think variety is always good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you post a reel to Instagram?
I did.
A voice acting reel?
Yeah.
So did I. Recently.
I need to go watch that. Yeah.
Yeah. I need to watch yours too. I was reading my notes before we started and I was like, no way. And then I was looking for it, but I couldn't find it before you got here.
That's okay.
We're going to have to share them with each other.
Share with each other.
That's so cool. Were you taking classes in person or online?
In person.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. I've done online classes as well, but I think I like in person better.
There's something very throw yourself in the fire about in-person classes.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, for sure. And I think it's, I mean, I don't know if you have a roommate, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You said you have a roommate. I find it harder to really fully commit to doing an online class when you know there's someone else in the house.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's very true. The only thing that changed that for me, because it felt so embarrassing, was during the fires when everything was shut down, I found a vocal booth really cheap on Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, nice.
And I bought it. And now I have a vocal booth in my house. So when I'm in that, it feels very protected.
Yeah.
And especially because I have a bunch of soundproofing and stuff, it feels muffled enough.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I can totally see that working. Yeah.
Highly recommend. If you ever want to use it, feel free.
I'd love to.
I think however many people can get use from it, the better.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have a favorite experience so far from your dance career?
Yeah, I would say so. I backup dance for Mark Twan.
Mm-hmm.
He's more of a OG. He was part of GOT7. They were an older group, really, really big. And he did a concert in Thailand. So at first, it was the New Year's show. And I got hired to do it's called Skeleton Crew.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you have a concert in Thailand, wherever, Japan, whatever. And you need dancers there, but the choreographer works in America. So what they'll do is they'll assemble their own dancers and do the formations, the dancing, etc., and get it on video so that they can send it over so that they can learn through video.
Mm-hmm.
That way they can use their brain to put it together, but they have the dancers in the area. So that's what I was doing for Mark for a New Year's show.
Mm-hmm.
But then the team was like, you know what? Do you guys just want to do the show? And we're like, of course we do.
Yeah.
So by a stroke of luck, we ended up actually getting to perform out in Thailand for New Year's.
Wow.
And it was so cool. It was in the back of like the outside back area of a really big mall there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was right against the river. So the mall itself packed. And then people on boats on the river watching, people across the river watching as well. And we did this whole New Year's show where we performed. And it was honestly one of the coolest experiences ever to just get to spend your New Year's there in a different country with like this huge crowd perform to them, fireworks going off, insane fireworks too. They do it different out there. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, I think that would be like easily a top favorite.
That's so experience. Cool. Was that your like, I made it moment? Would you
that
say?
Was, it, yeah, it was like a very, wow, this is like the experience I've always dreamed about as like a growing up as a dancer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That sounds amazing. Well, thank you for sharing all of your stories. I really appreciate you being here.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Tell everybody where to find you online if they want to follow your dancing.
Yeah, I am mostly active on Instagram and TikTok, but you can find me at Lejonny Tran, LeJonnyTran. Don't use an H because I don't like the H in Johnny. Like people always spell with the H.
Yeah.
It's not right. But you can find me there. Instagram and TikTok is what I mostly use, but I also post on YouTube, Facebook. Rarely I stream on Twitch. Yeah. Find me there.
Yeah. Do you have any projects coming up that you're looking forward to?
Yeah. I'm with Kevin Wu. I'm performing at Jingle Ball LA on Friday.
Wow.
So literally, what day is it? Is it Monday?
It is Monday. Yeah, yes, so I also didn't
4 days, I'll be performing Jingle Ball LA. Mm-hmm. The Friday after, we'll be doing Jingle Ball New York. So that'll be really fun.
That's so cool.
I'm excited for that.
Congratulations. That's Thank amazing. You.
Doing more Saja Boy stuff. I think we're doing Soda Pop and Your Idol.
Yeah, you did Soda Pop. That's coming out soon. Mm-hmm. And now you're performing with Kevin Wu.
Yeah.
The voice of, yeah, the singing voice of Mystery.
Singing voice
Saja.
Of Mystery, yeah.
So you're haunted now.
Yes,
you can't
I'm just forever stuck
Saja
in Saja Boy work. But you know, I'll take it. It's okay.
If you had to choose which Saja Boy you're most like, which one would you choose?
I...